Thanks for tuning into this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can check us out on the web at hillsideassembly.org. You're about to hear a message from our current message series, and I hope you open your heart and mind to hear a word from God today.
So we look at God's will window, and when we originally preached this message, we talked about four ways that God speaks into our life. And so on the top of this window, we have three panels. There's a fourth panel below. And so we're just going to go through these. These will come up on the screen as well. God will use the influence of others to speak into our life. He uses people to encourage us, to help us, to motivate us, to sometimes correct us. And so he will use others, the influence of others. The second thing that God will use to speak into our life to help us get where he wants us to be, and that's the key, right? Where he's taking us, not where we think we ought to be, not where we want to go, but God's will is about him taking us where he's called us, where he wants us to be, developing us into who he's calling us to be. So the second thing is life circumstances, and God will use the things in your life that happen, both the good and the negative, or what we would view as negative, to set you up for some great success in your life, for some great growth opportunities, and to set you on a course that is rough. The road is broken in our life, but it leads to somewhere that's so fulfilling if we allow God into the deepest places of our hearts and our minds and in our life to be able to shape us as he brings these life circumstances in our life to mold us and to develop us further in our walk with him. The third area where God will speak to us in is the leading of the Spirit. Sometimes we'll talk a little bit about this today, but the leading of the Spirit where God will just, you'll sense this presence. You'll just, it's almost like you can hear a voice sometimes asking you to do something, to move out of the way or to send a letter to someone or maybe a text message to someone and the leading of the Spirit. It's where this, though, that we'll find our conviction, where the Spirit will wrestle with us and maybe sometimes ask us to let go of something in our life, to grab a hold of something new. And so God will speak in those three areas of our life. The fourth panel is this, the Word of God, which is absolutely pivotal. And the interesting thing is if you put that in the right order, you'll flip those around, one more slide, it actually spells will. Yeah, this is why you guys pay me the big bucks to be a pastor. I'm creative, right? Because W-I-L-L, that's will, God's will, right? So we call this the God's will window. The one thing that we do realize is that any time that there is a point of failure here in this, because the influence of others, you know, you can have really people in your life that mean well, but they can lead you in the wrong direction. Life circumstances, sometimes we don't know if God's asking us to stop where we're at and take a right or a left, or do we persevere and move through this? And so we need something called discernment to help us there. And then there's the leading of the Spirit, but was it, and that's something that takes time, because the Holy Spirit is a person, and we'll talk about this in another core value series, but the Holy Spirit is a person. And as you build that relationship, you get a more firm footing on how the Spirit speaks to you and how he leads you. And so it takes time to develop that. So sometimes we're not sure if it's the leading of the Spirit or the milk was sour that you had for dinner last night, and maybe that's what's going on, or you ate bad pizza and had a dream. And, you know, so there's a point of failure here, but the fourth one is so important, because what we realize is if we take this fourth one and we put it in the proper place and we unlock the window first. There we go. And we slide it up. We see these other three through the pane of God's word. Doesn't that make sense? See, God's word has to be the fundamental truth. It has to be the building block that everything else is built on. That's why we shared it as core value one. And we're not trying to say that one core value is more important than the others, but without the word, all of it's meaningless. And so we have to have the Word of God as a foundation for how he speaks to us. Which brings us to today, the title of today's message, The Messenger is not as important as the message. It's almost Christmas time. How many people like Christmas? All right, how many people already have their tree up? Oh, tonight, okay. No, nobody else is admitting to it. I don't have mine up either. So If those of you who know Dustin Dyke, that thing's been already up for a while. So some people really get into the decorating thing, and that's fine. That's great. We all probably have some good Christmas memories. Maybe some of us, Christmas is very difficult because of the situations that we grew up in. But I know a couple things about Christmas. And when you start, especially when you start talking about packages and things like that, is if you have a cat at home, they love Christmas. They love the boxes. They don't care about what's in it. They care about the box. It's amazing. You can have a cat that's three times the size of a box, yet that cat will figure out a way to get in the box. Sometimes that's just like you and I. We have a hard time thinking out of the box. And sometimes we put ourselves in such a small box that we don't see the things that God wants us to see from a bigger perspective because we're stuck in a box. And sometimes we like to bring the box smaller instead of expanding it out to a bigger opportunities that God may have for us. But cats like our Christmas boxes, but how many of you have ever seen this if you're a parent? Your kids. You will go out and you will spend money on a gift that you think is the best possible gift for your kids. They will open the box on Christmas and not care what was in it. But to them, the box was the best thing you could have got them for Christmas. Right? You've probably all been there as parents. And I wonder sometimes, church, if that's us. We put way more weight on the box that the message comes in than the message that God has for us. Do we get stuck focusing on the messenger and not paying attention to the message? Today, we want to talk just really about one of the panels up here, obviously God's Word, but one of the top panels up here, and that's the influence of others in our life. That God will use others to speak His Word into our life. And when God does this, one of two things will always happen. Absolutely true. One of two things will always happen. If God is using someone to speak His Word into your life, it will do one of two things. The first, it may be confirming something that God has already begun to speak to you about. Or the second thing, it will be confirmed through God's Word and Spirit. Because this is the foundation. Okay? And there are a lot of people running around that say they're followers of Christ, and maybe they are, maybe they aren't, but they say some things that are really dumb. And just because somebody can communicate in all the spiritual terms and say things that sound scriptural, that sound biblical, that sound impressive, does not mean that that's a word of God for you. And so God gives us some gifts. He gives us the wise counsel of people that we can trust to maybe run something through with others. He gives us His Word, which absolutely lines up. If anybody tries to tell you they have a word from God and it doesn't line up with the scriptures, that's not a word from God. Okay, period. And so we've got this gift called discernment that if we ask for it, God will help us. And it's a gift that develops over time. But it helps us to understand, is this for me or is this something I need to let go of? The one of the best tools for any Christian, any follower of Jesus, is a strainer. Anybody have a pasta pot at home? These are awesome. There's a pot, and you cook pasta in it, but with a pasta pot, there's also a cage that goes in it, a built-in strainer. So you boil the water, you throw the noodles in. When it's ready, you pull it out. The water stays, and the noodles come out. We need to be living that way, church, where there's a strainer, where everything goes through a filter. Is this something that God's speaking to me, or is it not? Because there are things in our life we got to learn to let go of, because otherwise they'll consume our life. And we'll get angry and upset and frustrated over something and we can't move on beyond it. And it hinders our growth. So we need to have that strainer in our life. An example of God's Word being confirmed can be found in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is being installed as the new leader of Israel. Moses has passed away. Joshua is the guy God has chosen to lead His people into the promised land. And God has a very awesome conversation with Joshua. And through that conversation, three times, He says this phrase to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." Three times. At the end of this conversation, Joshua meets with the people and he lays out God's plan, what he's spoken, what they're going to do, where the next step is. He casts some vision that God has given him. At the end of that conversation with the people, here's what they said: "We will do all you have told us, only be strong and courageous." Oh, to be in Joshua's shoes in that moment. To know he's heard from God, because now there's a confirmation of what God has spoken into his life. That's a good thing. That's an exciting thing. And you and I can have that same type of confirmation in God's word. But we must always remember the Bible must be the foundation, the final authority of something that God is saying or not saying to us. No exceptions. So let's talk about who God speaks through in our life. Some boxes, some packages that come to our life that maybe we overlook and we miss. And we're robbing ourselves of a great opportunity to have God enrich our lives. Let's first jump into Numbers 22, verses 21 through 39. One of the weirdest portions of Scripture you could possibly read. All right, so let's all go on a trip together. Numbers 22, starting in verse 21. Balaam got up in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with his Moabite officials. But God was very angry when he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. Balaam was riding on his donkey, and the two servants were with him. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand, he turned off the road and into the field. Balaam beat it to get back on the road. When the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards, walls on both sides, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. Then the angel of the Lord moved on ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to run, either to the right or to the left. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it laid down under Balaam. And he was angry and beat it with his staff. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and it said to Balaam, "What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?" Balaam answered the donkey. First off, it's weird that Balaam doesn't go, "This is a talking donkey," but okay. In his anger and frustration, he just has this conversation. Balaam answered the donkey, "You have made a fool of me. If only I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now." The donkey said to Balaam, "I am not your own donkey, which you have always ridden to this day. Have I been in the habit of doing this to you?" "No," he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low and fell face down. The angel of the Lord asked him, "Why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one before me. The donkey saw me and I turned away from me these three times. If it had not turned away, I would certainly have killed you by now, but I would have spared it. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned. I did not realize you were standing in the road to oppose me. Now, if you are displeased, I will go back." Wow. I wonder sometimes if in our life we're faced with these situations, these circumstances, and we don't heed, we don't understand that they're from God. God speaks through the unconventional. He speaks through the unconventional. See, I think there's times when we try to put God in a little box and we say, this is how God always operates. And I think when we have that attitude toward God, I think he laughs. You go, really? We're going to put limitations on a God who in moments said, "Let there be light," and spontaneously hundreds of thousands of giant balls of gas, much larger than the earth, spontaneously combusted and lit the entire universe. And you're going to go, "God, you can't possibly work outside of my box, out of my way of thinking." That's crazy. That's fallacy. God is this infinite, creative, amazing God, and God will use all sorts of things to speak into your life. I remember once when I was a youth pastor and I was very discouraged and I was going through just a tough day. And I remember praying that morning, God, I just want to know that you love me. I was praying that as I was going out to a shed to put some things away. I'd come back, sat down in my office, and I heard the ding on my computer. A new email dropped. Title of the email, just know God loves you. Oh, that's just coincidence. Really? Or is it divine providence of God? This week, I had a conversation with somebody. They were at their workplace, and they were going through a very difficult time. They hadn't told anybody. They were having to do something at work that they didn't really want to do, and they were worried they weren't going to get it done. And then this text message came from an individual that they had not spoken to, had no idea this was going on, and in the midst of that, just basically spoke these words that God has positioned you right where you're supposed to be today for his purpose. There's a reason you're at where you're at today. And just like the Packers chose Aaron Rodgers to be their quarterback, God has chosen you for this moment to be right where you're at, and he will lead you where you need to be. Their first response was obviously this was meant to go to somebody else, because it was too freaky. How could that possibly have come at the right moment from someone she had never had a conversation with about what was happening? Because God knew. And the person who sent it that morning had felt a leading from the Holy Spirit. You were to text this person. And actually blew it off twice, and on the third time said, I'm just going to send it with no explanation. God's bigger than me. If it's God, it's God. If it's not, it's not. And it was God speaking his words through individuals, using a text message, using an email. There's nothing that God can't use. He can use pastors, and he can use brothers and sisters in the Lord. He can use the person that you're sitting next to speak into your life. He will absolutely, definitely use your spouse. And even if your spouse is unsaved, I'll tell you, God will use unsaved people to speak to you and try to bless you in your life. Pastor, that's not possible. Really? Are you sure that's not possible? I've told the story before. It's so good. How can I not give it up today? I remember very vividly meeting this missionary who's in South Korea. He attends one of the largest churches in the world, and he was working for a construction company when God laid on his heart a calling to be a taxi cab missionary in Seoul, Korea. This was the idea that God gave him, that you could have a taxi cab and you would drive people around. And when speakers come to your church in Seoul, you can ask them to do a little short little ministry minute kind of thing, a 5-minute message and a 15-minute or 30-minute message. And you can have a tape and you can have it in all sorts of different languages. So when you pick up somebody, you can go, hey, where are you from? What do you speak? And they tell you, and then you pick the right tape, you put it in there, and they get the gospel presentation. The one problem with this vision is that he didn't have a taxi cab. He had no money to really put towards this, but God had spoken to him. He was so sure that God had spoken to him. And as he talked with his pastors and leadership and wise counsel, they said, look, we confirm this. We really think that this is something God may be leading you to. God will provide the taxi cab. So he picked a date on the calendar, went and told his boss, the head of this construction company, that he was going to be leaving to start this ministry. And that his boss thought he was crazy. He said, and he liked this employee a lot. He said, how are you going to afford a taxi cab? Very, very expensive in Korea. How would you ever afford this and the licensing fees and all this kind of stuff? He says, I don't know. God will buy it for me. A few weeks went by. The boss called him in as he was getting ready for his last day. He said, how's it going? Has God provided this taxi cab for you? No, he hasn't. Well, that's crazy. There's no way, but I appreciate your service here and everything else, so I'm going to buy that taxi cab for you. Wait, what now? He didn't even realize he's the answer to prayers that God would use him to finance a ministry, and today that individual still drives around Seoul, Korea, and he's got all these boxes of tapes, and probably CDs by now, CDs or MP3s, and he asks every person that gets in his car, in his taxi, where are you from? What language do you speak? And guess what gets played? A message in their language. He's led dozens of people to Christ. And he picks up every speaker for the church that they have in. God will use who he chooses to use. There is no limitations to who or what God will use to try to bless his people and speak his word into their life. Kanye West, a secular music artist, who a lot of his music I've never agreed with, recently got saved. Life-transforming salvation. A pastor friend of mine had one of his staff members attend an event this last week. He said it was absolutely 100% genuine and authentic. He didn't showboat, was extremely humble, sang only twice with the choir, the rest of the time just served. Greeted people, welcomed them, shared a small portion of his testimony. 1,000 people came to the Lord. But you know what I see online? All these people who say that they're Christians, saying, well, it can't be real. It's not authentic. God couldn't use somebody like this because look at his past. Are you kidding me? Read the Bible, folks. God uses all sorts of people. He's a redeemer. And I'm happy and excited to call Kanye West my brother in Christ. Is he perfect? No, he's not going to be perfect, but neither am I and neither are you. God uses imperfect people to do his perfect will. This morning at Disney Parks, because I know a lot of people, they have issues with Disney and those kind of things. And are they a perfect company? No, they're not. Absolutely not. No company is. Have they done things that are against some moral values that we may hold dear? Absolutely. But do you know that this morning at both parks, there is no less than 4 churches that are meeting on the property of our Disney parks? Ministry partners that are reaching people for Christ at the park. There's actually, one of the churches is called Cast Member Church. You can probably figure out what their mission is. They pastor the cast members at Disney. We have full-time pastors and missionaries at these parks. They're there to serve. They're there to bring the gospel in whatever ways they can. How awesome is that? God will use whoever he chooses to use. He uses the unconventional. The second thing that we want to talk about, God will speak through the undesirable. In Matthew chapter 3, we're introduced to a character in the Bible called John the Baptist. Here is how it's laid out. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who has spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him. This is the crazy part. People went out to him out in the wilderness from Jerusalem and all over Judea and the whole region of the Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John the Baptist broke every mold that we would think about as a preacher, as a teacher, or as a prophet in the Old Testament. This guy was just different. He dressed in camel hair, uncomfortable, itchy. Basically, he was a preacher in sweatpants and a sweatshirt. Looked like he just came from the gym, and he probably had a little bit of locust dust and some honey drippings down it. Unrefined man, undesirable to a lot. This is crazy. He ate these locusts. He ate honey. His palate wasn't refined. He's probably not the person that you'd like to bring over for a fancy dinner party. But those who looked past the package received a message that would change their life. Because they saw something, they heard something. There was something that happened when John spoke that transcended his appearance, transcended the box, and it drew people. It was the Spirit of God using this man named John. John may have not been everybody's preference, but this was the man that God had called for the hour and for this particular mission. Are we more caught up on the package or on the message? Let's be honest. I don't know if I would have John the Baptist fill the pulpit here. That'd be a little weird. Sweatpants, sweatshirt, you know, a little ornery. I just, in my mind, if it was today, it'd be like the most southern hick guy from the backwoods you ever seen. Probably came to church with a piece of straw hanging out of his mouth, right? All right, let's preach the word today. But he was effective. Because he didn't try to become something that he wasn't. He was just who he was in Christ. I have to wonder in our push sometimes as a church to see people discipled, and that means to grow in who God is. As we push, we want to see people discipled. Do we really want to see people grow in Christ, or do we want to see people change into something we're more comfortable with? Are we trying to just assimilate people to make us feel more comfortable and say that that's God's will? Do we want people to look more like Christ, or do we want people to look more like us? Ouch, I hope you wore your steel-toed shoes today. Do we want to do church like Jesus is asking us to do church, or do we want to do church the way it's comfortable for us? Do we want to receive the gifts that God has blessed us with and encourage them to grow in Christ? Because let's be very clear, every person that's here this morning, you are a gift to this church. Amen. You're a gift. I'm so excited that you're here. Whether it's your first time or you've been here for 50 years, I'm so excited because you're a gift to this church. But do we treat you like a gift, or do we try to conform you to something that just fits a little better with our liking, our preferences? God help us. Do we want people to just sound like us, look like us, and act like us? Have we missed out, church, on one of the biggest blessings because we have just said as a church culture that we want to push out Christmas cookie style Christians. We want to take the cutter and have them all look alike. Because the problem with that is that it's not what this shows. This shows the most colorful people we could ever possibly imagine. All different shapes, sizes, cultures, experiences, all different backgrounds and how they lived, how they were brought up, and yet brought together in this beautiful tapestry of God's will. The church. This amazing thing that we're supposed to become. I don't know about you, but the Holy Spirit continually rides me about this. Why are you trying so hard to be something that I've not called you to be? I'll be very honest. Very seldom do I feel like I fit in with other pastors. For a long time, that bothered me. So I realized I got to get comfortable with who God's called me to be. Because I'm not meant to be anybody else but me. And you're not meant to be anybody else but you. Don't put a mask on Sunday morning. I've just gotten to the point as pastor, I'm not putting a mask on anymore. This is me. This is who God's called. I want to be the best me I can be for Christ. I remember as a young man that God spoke to me after retreat in the middle of the night. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was the closest thing to that. I never get up and go to the kitchen in the middle of the night, but I was at my parents' house. I got up, I went to the kitchen, I opened the refrigerator, and there was a bowl of fruit salad. I'll never forget when the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Why do you long to try to be a banana or an apple or a grape when I've called you to be a kiwi fruit? And I thought, for sure, I've lost my mind. God wouldn't speak to me through fruit salad. But I often remember those words that the Holy Spirit spoke into my life. Yeah, I might be a fuzzy little green fruit that most people don't care for with a whole bunch of seeds in it, but man, that's who I'm called to be. Be the person God's calling you to be, church. John was effective because he was himself and endued with the power of God. Be you, but be you with Christ. There may be a person in your life today, church, that you feel is undesirable. Someone that you just really can't stand. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's right here in this building. I have a surprise for you. God has a surprise for you. It's not by accident that person is in your life. And God is not trying to change them. He's trying to change you. He's trying for you to understand that person's meant to be a blessing to you in your life, some way, some shape, somehow. For the person here this morning who you feel like you never fit in, that you feel like you're the undesirable person, I want to tell you today, God chose you. He chose you. Yeah, and all your quirks and all your faults and all your failures, he chooses you today. He chooses you. It's not an accident. It's not like, well, I told the world that I came to die for everybody, so I guess I just got to take you with everybody. No, that's not his heart. His heart is, I choose you, whether or not anybody else will follow. I choose you to have a relationship with. I choose you to guide and to call and to use in ministry and to use to serve and empower others. I'm choosing you this morning. Make it very clear that God will not leave you in your current state where you're at, but he will help you grow into who you can become in him. And I'll guarantee you, it's not a cookie cutter. It's an original. You're one of a kind follower of Jesus. You're a treasure to the kingdom. You're a treasure to Christ. And if you're not already a treasure to this church, by golly, we're going to make ourselves that way to understand that you're a treasure for us. The third and final area that we'll talk about this morning is the discriminated. God speaks through the discriminated. No matter where you've come from, no matter what color your skin is, no matter what gender you are, God wants to speak in and through you. In 1906, an African-American pastor by the name of William J. Seymour, there's a picture of him there. You can just keep that picture up. A man who was not allowed to ride in certain parts of the bus or the train because of the color of his skin. A man who would not be allowed to eat in some restaurants simply because of who he was. He was treated not like a second-class citizen, but not like a citizen at all in a lot of places. Taken from the Midwest and called to California to preach at a church, he would move himself out there in a step of faith. He preached one service in that church. And when he showed up for the second service, the doors were locked, saying that he was no longer welcome there. Instead of going back home, realizing that God had called him, he had built a relationship with just a few people. And they decided to hold services in a small little house in the Los Angeles area, a home on Bonnie Bray Street. Over the next few days, black, white, and Hispanic people would gather and got saved. And they would start a church. In just those few days, they would hold a service. So many people in attendance that the floor of the house gave way. Here's an account of that was given by a homeowner that lived down the street. It was Easter season. The people came from everywhere. By the next morning, there was no way of getting near the house. As people came in, they would fall under the power of God, and the whole city was stirred. They shouted until the foundations of the house gave way, yet no one was hurt. That's a church service. The church would go on to rent a small warehouse on Azusa Street. And just days later, there would be a term, the revival on Azusa Street. It launched the modern-day Pentecostal church. It was from here that the Assemblies of God would be birthed. And I want to tell you this morning, if not for Pastor William J. Seymour, I very much doubt that Hillside Assembly would exist today. An African-American man. Judged by his culture, judged by the church that God had called. Church, if I were a different color this morning, would this still be your church? If I was Asian, Hispanic, or black today, would you still call me your pastor? And if the answer is no, I just want to tell you, you need to spend some time with God. I can't change the color of my skin, nor would I want to. I appreciate the life that God gave me, the parents that he gave me, the experiences that I've had. They all haven't been great. They all haven't been of privilege. Some of them are extremely painful. I grew up the first several years of my life in a very abusive home with a man who said he was a follower of God, who longed to be an evangelist, yet mistreated people and beat my mother. But I can't change who I am. And I want you to know, no matter your culture, no matter the color of your skin, no matter where you grew up, be proud of who God's called you to be. Embrace your culture. I want more color in our church. Of every shade of white, of dark, of brown, and everything in between. Because you are beautiful because God made you who you are. And I wouldn't want to change that. We talk about discriminations. We can talk about, well, the fact that God could only use a Republican. Let me make very clear, I'm going to be a little heated and maybe a little passionate. Jesus is not American. I hate to break that to you this morning. Jesus does not affiliate with one party or the other, nor does he endorse any candidate. Jesus is part of one party, and it is the party of the lamb. It is not the elephant or the donkey. And God will use who he chooses to use. We can talk about women in ministry, and lately that's been a hot subject, so why not just jump into the fire this morning? Can God use a woman? I'll just answer that yes. As Pentecostals, we believe that the outpouring of the Spirit that was talked about in Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, here's what it says. And afterward, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will have visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. We believe that that started to be fulfilled in Acts 2 and goes on to be continued today. We have to first understand what is prophecy, because we don't understand that. I'm not going to take long, but it's this. We confuse prophecy with fortune telling, and that is not what biblical prophecy is. As your pastor, it is vital that I flow in the gift of prophecy, because biblical prophecy is the speaking of God's word to people. That's what biblical prophecy is. I'm not going to get off on a side tangent because I sure could. Biblical examples of women in ministry. In the Old Testament, not just in the New Testament, but in the Old Testament, it includes several accounts of strong female leadership in many varied roles. The following are just some of these examples. Miriam was a prophet in Israel during the Exodus alongside her brothers, Moses and Aaron. Deborah was both a prophet and a judge, directed by Barak to lead the army of Israel into successful combat against Israel's oppressors. Huldah, and I'm probably pronouncing this wrong, also a prophet, authenticated the scrolls of the law found in the temple and helped spark religious reform in the days of Josiah. Esther, a Hebrew girl, God would place in a position as queen of Persia to save the Hebrew people and the culture. Can God use women? You betcha. New Testament examples of God being used, or women being used in ministry by God. Tabitha, also known as Dorcas, initiated an effective benevolence ministry. Philip's four unmarried daughters were all recognized as prophets. Paul singled out two women, Edia and Synthias. Women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers. That's found in Philippians chapter 4. Priscilla was another person that Paul says was an exemplary fellow worker in Christ Jesus. The words used for fellow worker would mean equal partner. God uses women. And it's just not for the Old Testament and the New Testament. Modern day, God has raised up some amazing auditors of the gospel. Women like Lisa Harper and Christine Kane, who we've used their curriculum and sent sessions or showed sessions of them in our grow groups. Amazing women of God that God uses mightily. Most recently, someone that maybe you've heard of, Beth Moore, has been making some headlines lately. Beth Moore is an author, a dynamic speaker, a founder of Living Proof Ministries, and was born in Green Bay, Wisconsin. She's got to be okay if she's born in Green Bay. Packers fan. Listen, I'll make really clear that I don't agree with Beth Moore on everything that she says, but I will say this, she is called from God. She has reached hundreds and thousands of people. She has brought hundreds of people into relationship with Christ, introduced them to their Savior. Yet recently, she's been taking a lot of heat from a mainstream denomination that she's a part of. She was told, when you were speaking in these conferences with hundreds and even thousands of women, if a man enters the door and decides to sit in that auditorium. You should have the integrity to stop preaching the word of God and walk off the stage and leave that place. Let me make really clear when someone says that. And this is all based on one passage of scripture that's taken out of biblical and cultural context. When there are men that have made comments like that, it's about insecurity. And it's about the fact that you see a woman doing a better job presenting the gospel than you are. A well-known evangelical pastor recently had this to say at Beth Moore at a conference that he was speaking at and asked to give a word association. They would say one word and you just tell us a phrase that goes along with it. The first one said was Beth Moore. It was intentionally meant to be hurtful when they did this. The person running this said Beth Moore. And this well-known evangelical pastor said, go home. Let me speak very clearly to the women in this church today. God has called you to be a part of ministry. There is a calling on your life. And as your pastor and as the leadership of this church, we embrace you. We realize you are a gift and a blessing to this church. We have two women that serve on our board. They could not be finer representation of you, church. They serve faithfully and boldly. And I commend them both for their service. We have some great people that teach in our grow groups that are a part of various different ministries here that are women, and you do a phenomenal job. And one of our best ministry partners is Mandy Kimes. And let me be very clear on this. I have told Mandy, although she thinks I'm joking, I keep telling her this. When she has a word for this church from God, to call me and let me know, because this pulpit is open to her. I see in her the calling that God is calling her towards. And one day, I believe that Mandy Kimes will be associated with names like Christy Kane and Lisa Harper and Beth Moore. She has that type of calling on her life. And I will do everything that I can do to help her in that, in living that out. There are a lot of other people that we could say are discriminated. Sometimes it's the young, but remember, how could God ever use a child? But wasn't it a boy who fed 5,000 people? Wasn't it his Happy Meal lunch that God would use to feed over 5,000 people? In our very own church last week, we made a push for men or for people to be involved in winter snow removal on Sunday mornings. We're looking for a team to put together. I had one person that said they want to be a part of that. It was Joey Bruss. Pastor, I know I'm small, but I can push a shovel. Come on. God will use you no matter of your age. People will say, they're too old to be a part of ministry. Let me tell you, the best encourager I ever had was Enos Mantic. I still cherish every moment that I ever had with the man. The last time he was in the hospital and sick, he pulled me to his bedside and said, Pastor, I want to speak into your life. Not worried about himself, but wanting to see the church be successful and move forward, spoke words of life and affirmation into my life. Bob Camp, a retired minister, took me under his wing in Brookings, South Dakota, and would encourage me every time that I took the pulpit that God would continue to do great things in my life, and that one day I would be a senior pastor, and I would experience an anointing beyond what I had experienced up to that point. Don't tell me God can't use you because of your age. The final thing I'll say this morning is the worship team comes back. I know for absolute fact that God will use the unconventional, the undesirable, and the discriminated to speak his word, because that's who Jesus was. Many people would disregard Jesus because of what he looked like, because of what he did, because he was known as a rebel, unconventional, breaking the system, going against the church at the time. Many people would look and say he was undesirable. And Jesus would be discriminated by, and the biggest discrimination came from the church. Church, God has called us to do better. He's called us to do better when we look at the people in our community. We look at the people that come through the door on a Sunday morning. They are his children, every one of them. Son or daughter, no matter the color of their skin, no matter their culture, no matter their age, we're to treat them as a treasure.